So this morning we are continuing from reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So we are going to study today, this morning, text 59 to 69. Text 59. Ami balaka sannyasi bandhananda nahi jane tumara asraye niluye guru karinani. I am a young sannyasi, and I actually have no knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Therefore, I am taking shelter of you and accepting you as my spiritual master. Tomara sangha lagi mora iha agamana sarva prakare karive amaye palana. I have come here only to associate with you, and I am now taking shelter of you. Will you kindly maintain me in all respects? Ajiye haila amara badae vipati taha haite kaila tumi amara avyahati. The incident that happened today was a great obstacle for me, but you have kindly relieved me from it. Bhattacharya kahe ekala tumi na yahi darsane amara sange abe kumiva amara ka lokasane. The Bhattacharya replied, "Do not go alone to see the deity of Lord Jagannath at Jagannath temple. It is better that you go with me or my men." Prabhu kahe mandira bharite na yabiye garudaye pase rahi darshana karibe. The Lord said, "I shall never enter the temple but shall always view the Lord from the side of Garuda Stamba." Gopinatha Charya kahe sarvabhuma tumi gosainai lana kariye darsana. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya then told Gopinatha Charya, "Take Goswamiji and show him Lord Jagannath." Amare mitra sarvasagriha nirjana sthana tanau yasa dehe kara sarva samadhana. Also, the apartment belonging to my maternal aunt is a very solitary place. Make all arrangements for him to stay there. Gopinath Prabhu lala taha vasalidila jala jala pratra dikha sarva samadhana kaila. Thus, Gopinacharya took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his residential quarters and showed him where to find water, tubs and water pots. Indeed, he arranged everything. Aradina Gopinatha Prabhu stane gya sayatana darshana karile lana. The next day, Gopinacharya took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the early rising of Lord Jagannath. Mukunda datta lana aila sarvabhuma stane sarvabhuma kichu tura baila vachane. Gopinath Acharya then took Mukunda datta with him and went to Sarvabhuma's house. When they arrived, Sarvabhuma addressed Mukunda datta as follows: Pakriti vinete sanyasi dekhi sundara amara bahu priti badai inhara upara. The sannyasi is very meek and humble by nature, and his person is very beautiful to see. Consequently, my affection for him increases, purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a very humble and meek person, because although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, he still retained his brahmachari name. The Lord took sannyas from Keshav Bharati in the Bharati Sampradaya, in which the brahmacharis, the assistants of the sannyasi, are named Chaitanya. Even after accepting sannyas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retained the name Chaitanya, meaning a humble servant of the sannyasi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya appreciated this very much. होम ज्ञान त्रिमंदस्य ज्ञानंजना शलाकया चक्षुस्मृतम येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। पंचकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यश्च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। So we are continuing the story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting Jagannath Puri. And as a very young sannyasi, he was very much feeling separation from Lord Jagannath or Lord Krishna. So as we all know now from hindsight that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much feeling separation from his Lord, Sri Krishna. Now, it's very difficult to understand this concept that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that very same Krishna. So how he is feeling that separation? So, of course, it is explained by the Acharyas that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although the Supreme Lord himself, he came in the mood of Radharani to experience what kind of relationship Radharani was feeling for Krishna. So, obviously, Radharani, when in the presence of Krishna, she was very much happy and very elated. But at the same time, when Krishna is out of her sight, then she begins to feel separation. And that separation, of course, is sometimes considered painful in a material platform. But on a spiritual platform, it is described that it is vipralamba. Vipralamba means separation in love for the Supreme Lord. So in other words, that separation is not painful, but it increases your love for that person whom you are hankering for. Of course, in this case, Srimati Radharani is hankering for Sri Krishna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes to perform his special pastimes in the mood of a devotee, especially in the mood of Radharani, he's feeling separation. So when he first sees Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the temple, he feels unconscious. And of course, we have studied in the previous verses that how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he observed this, and then he was wondering that here is a young man dressed like a sannyasi, but is he a novice sannyasi or is he a real sannyasi? Because in tradition, as we all understand from scriptural injunctions, that one takes sannyas at a mature age. Srila Prabhupada explains that from birth to the age of 5, we have freedom. We enjoy, and everybody fusses around us. If some of us had experience of having some nephews and nieces, I wouldn't say children, at least for myself, I don't have any children. But my brothers, they have their children, and they were being fussed around by me out of affection for them. So I'm sure all of you have experienced that. So Prabhupada explains that the child when he's born up to the age of 5 is completely free from any maya. Because at that stage, the child's mind is not fully developed or it is not attracted by the forces of maya. So it is very innocent, very fresh. And therefore the child is just growing up in a happy state of mind. Of course, we see sometimes young babies, they cry a lot, but their crying is for two purposes. One is to attract the attention of the mother. Either they are hungry or they have soiled themselves and they need cleaning. Otherwise, the child would cry if the child is sick. Besides this, the child would not cry. It would be just lying there happily sleeping and snoozing away or just absorbed in his own mind. Now, I don't know if anybody of you can remember your childhood from birth till the age of 5. It's very difficult to remember that memory, but those were the pleasant times. Then as soon as you get 5, then the parents, out of responsibility, will take you to kindergarten school and hold you with your little fingers and say, come along, my child. And then this is the time when the child is going to be in a most traumatized situation, because For the first time, he or she will be separated from the mother. And all this time, the child is always feeling safe and secure in the lap of the mother or in the arms of the mother. But now the child is going to say, you go into the kindergarten. So most children, they experience tremendous traumatization and crying. I don't want to go. I don't want to stay here. But after a while, the mother says, no, you got to stay here. And then child kind of says, okay, I got no choice. And he's stuck there, and he will probably sob for an hour or so. And the nursery teachers will console the child. And they say, look, the other children here. And they kind of make friends and give some toys and make life all wonderful, thinking Maya is now influencing the little child and saying, don't worry, my little child. Life is full of happiness. Enjoy. Anyway, the point is that from age of 5, we begin to take serious responsibility of studying. As Srila Prabhupada says, in the Vedic traditional culture, a child from the age of 5 to age of 25 is studying under the supervision of the spiritual master and preparing the child for the responsibilities which will come in the next chapter of one's life, and that is taking household life or grihastha life. And in grihastha life, at the age of 25, you get married, and then you have your own household life, you have your own children, and you bring your children up. Up to the age of 50, you work hard and take care of your social duties. Then at the age of 50, then now you have finished all your social responsibilities. So slowly you detach from your social responsibilities and you take vanaprastha, semi-retirement. And generally in traditional sense, at vanaprastha, the husband and wife leave home and go on a pilgrimage. And of course, there is no shortage of places of pilgrimage in India. East, west, north, south, every place you go, there is a place of pilgrimage where you would go and associate with the saintly people who are residing in those places, hear from the saintly people about the next phase of your life for next 20 years or so of absorbing and hearing the Krishna Katha, developing taste for Krishna Katha, and taking darshan of the lordships in different holy places. Then at some stage, one or the other partner will leave their body, whether it's a woman or a man. In case if a woman has left the body, then the man takes sannyas. And then now he is totally absorbed in his renounced mood of fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. So the Sarva Bhattacharya is thinking, now here is a young man. Now you know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 23, which is like the prime of your youth. And Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas at that age. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is thinking, how is this young boy taking sannyas? And then, of course, he finds him in the state of unconsciousness, and he's thinking, that is he one of those pretenders? Anyway, so as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is also a scholarly person, a learned person, also he understands Vedic culture very much. So out of compassion, he takes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, and then brings him back to consciousness. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying in these verses that you took very nice care of me. And because you took very nice care of me, I am now taking shelter of you and accepting you as my spiritual master. Please guide me. I'm a young person. I don't know anything. Now, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't mean that when he says, I don't know anything, I'm a very young person, doesn't mean that he doesn't know. He is the Supreme Lord. He is the knower of all knowledges. But here he is showing, as a devotee, humility. That even though if you are very learned, if there is another learned person present in your midst, then you submit to that person with humility. That is the idea of following the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinad api sunichena, Taror api sunichena, Amani na mani dena kirtane sada. We should never be feeling that now I know everything. Because when you know in your own heart, I am the knower of everything, I know knowledge, immediately Maya steps in and embraces you very tightly, saying, yes, you are a very learned person. And what happens? By the influence of Maya, you become very full of pride and arrogance. And when you have pride and arrogance,
then even though you have knowledge, but that knowledge will just remain on a superficial level of knowledge. You will not get realized knowledge. You will not understand your real position. In the teachings of Sri Chaitanya, in Sri Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very clearly establishing the fact that we are insignificant spirit souls. We are of no significance. But because we are in the illusionary world, we think that we are very much knowledge. I am someone very special. And if by some good karma, you are endowed with some beauty and fame, then you would think, you know, I'm the most beautiful person. Everybody is admiring me. Just see, I'm the best. And everybody likes me because I'm so beautiful. I'm so famous. And this will make you live in a very, false sense of believing that you are someone very special. And I will tell you that in one example of an experiment was done, that in central London, in Oxford Street, a man and a woman, they were totally naked, but they had body paint. So body painting is such an art that it makes you look that you are dressed. And this young lady and young man were walking up and down Oxford Street. And nobody flinched an eyelid, thinking, what craziness is this? Naked people walking in the streets? Now, if they didn't have any body paint and they're walking naked, within 5 minutes, I would say, the police would come and take you and charge you for indecency. But here, this young lady and young man, they're walking up and down, and nobody is flinching an eyelid. Now, generally, when we are going anywhere, we are walking around and thinking, everybody's looking at me. So we like, you know, adjust our hair and, you know, our clothing and thinking everybody's looking at me. But everybody's thinking everybody's looking at them. But nobody's looking at nobody except you looking at yourself. This is what called illusionary pride and falseness of I am someone very important. So see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is teaching us by his own example. He's saying, I have no knowledge. Of course, we all know that at a very young age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as Nimai Pandit. And in India, when you address as a Pandit, Pandit is a title given to someone who is very, very learned. Now, he has a little boy, and it's called Nimai Pandit. Means that the society accepts him as a very learned person. He knows everything. And of course, also with his pastimes, we read in Adilila, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was defeating great scholars in philosophical discussions, and people were actually scared to approach him. They're saying, my false ego will be smashed because if I approach this child, he will completely smash me in my philosophical conclusions, and my ego will be so hurt. So he wants to stay away from it. Anyway, the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing his humility. And when we actually approach ourselves in the same humility spirit and become very humbled, and thinking that I am actually very insignificant, then at that point, the Lord actually looks favorably unto you and he reveals himself to you. The knowledge which you have gained is now transferred from knowledge to realized knowledge, that you actually realize that knowledge. And when you realize that knowledge means that you actually understand that you are a very insignificant little spark of no value, but by grace of the Lord, you have understood him, and therefore, you will remember your forgetful state, as Prabhupada many times repeats, that because of forgetful of Krishna, we think we are very very special, and we go on in our life thinking we are the doers, we do everything, we are the controllers, we are the Lord and Master of everything we see. But when we actually realize that we are actually eternally servant of Krishna, then our duty is to simply serve Krishna. So here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is humbly submitting himself to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is very elderly and very knowledged. The only problem with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's knowledge is that all the knowledge which he has gained, he has only reached the stage of realization up to the Brahman platform of impersonal understanding. And therefore, he thinks that is the highest. He cannot go beyond that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the Supreme Lord, is very kind and compassionate. And he comes to deliver fallen living entities. That is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's address is Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar is Patita Pavana. He has come to save the most fallen and those who are inquisitive knowledge. As Bhagavad Gita says, four kinds of people approach me. And one of them is one who is inquisitive, who wants to know me. So Sarvabhuma comes into that category, that is inquisitive and he wants to know. That is why he is dedicating his life to studying Vedanta. But his conclusion is wrong. So the Supreme Lord is saying, I will take you to a proper understanding. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is surrendering to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, but he is actually showing compassion to him and surrendering him for what purpose? To enlighten him. And because he is enlightening me. Now, interesting here is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I have come to Jagannath Puri to take your association. But in reality, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has not come to take association, but to give association. So out of compassion, he was giving association to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. And not only that, but indirectly, he was giving opportunity to Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya to serve him. Of course, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was out of culture understanding, he took care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took him to his home and served him. But that was not because he was serving him as a Supreme Lord, but because he was serving him out of etiquette and culture. But the Lord, he sees differently. That what, however you approach the Lord, he doesn't see your motives. He sees that you have come to serve him. And he will see only the aspect of your attitude to serve him, and therefore he will reciprocate with you. Although we have so much knowledge in the scriptures given to us by the acharyas, especially the six Goswamis, teaching us the actual mood of serving. And Prabhupada establishes this fact that the fundamental principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is ahoitukitvai, that unmotivated service, that whatever service we offer and render to the Supreme Lord, it should not be motivated on any level. But we all have motivations. In the beginning, when we come to Krishna consciousness, one of the most fundamental principles of our motivation is, I am fried in this material world. I have now come to this understanding of this knowledge, which says, surrender to Krishna. You surrender to Krishna, he will free you from everything. Krishna says in the 18th chapter, Aham tam sarva papevi, I'll free you from everything. So our motivation is, I will come to Krishna, I will serve him, and he will free me from everything. That is our motivation. And second motivation is, as Krishna says, that if you take to this process of Krishna consciousness, then at the end, you'll come back home, back to Godhead. So our motivation is to go back home, back to Godhead. So we have motivations. But Krishna is saying, don't worry about that motivations. In the beginning, of course, you will have, because you are just coming out of the clutches of Maya and slowly freeing yourself from that and coming to light and knowledge, coming to take shelter of Krishna. So then Krishna will reciprocate with you. And as we are practicing the principles of bhakti, slowly and gradually, that false concept of motivations will be freed from our heart. We will actually become lovers of Krishna. Here, in these verses, we say that Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya became very much attracted to this young sannyasi. Now, he wasn't attracted to him because he is a young and a sannyasi, but because he is the Supreme Lord. And we all know the Supreme Lord is the only attractive force in the whole world. He is known as Krishna, the one who is all attractive. So whether he is in Lord Chaitanya's form or Lord Krishna's form or Lord Ramachandra's form or many multiple other avatars, they are all equally attractive and beautiful because they are the same Lord. So because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is attracted to that beauty. Although at this stage he doesn't understand him, that this is the Supreme Lord. So just like even the residents of Braj, they were all attracted to Krishna. Although they had all their beautiful young children, but all the mothers, they had special affection for Krishna, even though they had their own children. Now, in this material world, we know that if we have our own children, we would have more love for our own children than the children of our friends and neighbors. But here we see that in Braj, everybody is attracted to Krishna, even though they have their own children. Now, this is a spiritual nature, that Krishna is all attractive, so automatically living entity will be attracted to him and be attracted to him in that beautiful way. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the similar way because he is the Supreme Lord. And later on, of course, he will get special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reveal to him free him of the illusion of his Brahman realization and bring to the highest realization of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a person. And second, he will give him a special darshan, you know, of that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Rama and same Krishna. We are very fortunate to have that painting on the wall here. I don't know how many of us, when we come here and actually look at that form and really understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or we just say, well, it's just a painting on the wall, you know, and it's no importance. But actually that painting is a very, very important painting. It is giving us the very insight and depth of who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he advented to this world, he is addressed or known as Gupta Avatar, means he is not known to everyone that he is the Supreme Lord. So, until Srila Prabhupada, he brought out this transcendental personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world, most people were thinking he is just a saintly person. Even when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in his travels of Sankirtan in all over India, wherever he went, nobody expected addressed him as Supreme Lord, but they all saw him as a wonderful, great, saintly person. Even till date, many times when you go to Bengal and many of the places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually born in a district in Bengal, they don't see him as a Supreme Lord. They see him as a saintly person. Even the scholarly people in India who know this, who are kind of so-called professors of scriptures, they also address Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a saint, not as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada, coming in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, he actually revealed the transcendental position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world. And anybody who takes to the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will automatically develop Krishna prema. And not just take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a saintly person, but knowing that here is that non-different from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord himself. And why I say this with confidence is that when Srila Prabhupada came to America and brought Krishna consciousness, the people of America or the young people who were attracted to Srila Prabhupada in his Sankirtan were not knowledged or cultured in Vedic principles. But here is an old Swamiji or some yogi, he has come. And in the 60s, there was a fashion of many yogis were going to America, not, of course, to deliver the Americans, but to get name, fame, and adoration, and distinction, and worship. So many of the yogis went there. Prabhupada went with a simple mood of giving. He did not go with the expectation that I want name and fame. He just simply wanted to give love of Krishna to everyone. Why? Because he was a recipient of love of Krishna from the mercy of his guru, and his guru Maharaj had instructed him that you're going to preach this message of Bhagavad culture to the English-speaking world. Now, when Srila Prabhupada introduced Panchatattva to these Westerners and then explain to them that here are these five principles of the Supreme Lord and his associates, and we worship him, and we chant the holy names. And when they accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord and started chanting Hare Krishna, immediately they took to the principles of Krishna consciousness. Although they are by culture, it is a complete foreign way of thinking in their life, in the culture, basically. But they accepted immediately and surrendered to Prabhupada. And immediately they surrendered to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, do this, do that. And they, without question, they accepted Prabhupada's words perfectly. Why? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in their heart, revealed the transcendental process of Krishna consciousness and then surrendered. In a very short period, Prabhupada went to New York in 1966. And in 66, the summer of 66, he began to get small followers. Not serious followers, but some followers. And as they were associating with Prabhupada, they became more and more serious. And as Prabhupada was giving his himself freely to these young people and explaining to them the science of Krishna consciousness, immediately they could understand. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadhiti Praniprathena, Pariprashana Sevaya. When you approach a bona fide spiritual master and submissively inquire from him, then what does he do? He gives you that knowledge. Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. He is a self-realized person, and therefore he can give you self-realization. So Prabhupada gave them self-realization, and immediately within a short period of 3 to 4 months, they became first-class Vaishnavas. Not only just first-class Vaishnavas, but they were so eager to now take the spirit to preach and tell others. And then Prabhupada said, we have to preach this message to everyone. And without even Prabhupada instructing them, some of them very eagerly said, Prabhupada, we want to go and open up a center there, open a center in this city, in that city. And Prabhupada blessed them, and they went off. Some 4 months old devotees, 6 months old devotees, going into a complete strange city, strange to, in a sense, strange to the culture of Krishna consciousness. Because they are Americans, so for them, any American city is normal. But to take this new culture, the new way of thinking in these cities, and then establishing temples to attract more people, it is not an ordinary task. It is a task which can only be performed when you are specially blessed by the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. So obviously they were blessed and they were able to open centers. And how did they open the centers? They only knew 26 Second Avenue storefront. So they were thinking that this storefront is the actual Krishna conscious temple. So they went in New York, in San Francisco, in Boston, in Montreal, in Los Angeles. And first thing they were looking for is a storefront. And they find a storefront and they open up a center. And of course, later on, as they become more developed in understanding and the real principle of Krishna consciousness, then they understand the concept of a temple, and then they purchase buildings, and of course, rest is history. But the point I'm saying is that unless and until we understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Lord, and take his shelter, we cannot develop Krishna prema. We cannot develop love of Krishna. The second example I can give you is in the state of Gujarat in India, practically everybody is a devotee of Krishna. And from childhood, they are brought up in a culture to address everyone, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. All their greeting is Jai Shri Krishna. If someone comes, Jai Shri Krishna. Someone goes, Jai Shri Krishna. Every time, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. And of course, they are blessed that one of the holy dams, Sri Dwarkapuri, is established on the western coast of Gujarat. And there are many, many wonderful other temples of the Lord all dotted all over Gujarat. But none of them have developed love of Godhead, Krishna prema. Because when you actually develop Krishna prema, then you give up your materialistic ideas, your materialistic lifestyle, and you take to the principle of devotion. So I'm not saying that they haven't developed any love for Krishna. They are devotees of some level, but they haven't developed that Krishna prema. And unless until they actually accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because in this Kali Yuga, only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar, he will then save us and connect us and give us Krishna prema. So we are very fortunate that we have all this knowledge and all this association by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take his shelter and develop Krishna prema. And gradually, as I said, in the beginning we have come with motivations. Do I want to be free from my material sufferings? I want to go back home to the spiritual world. But as we become more and more progressing in our spiritual life, by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, we'll forget all these things. And we'll develop real prema for Krishna. And that prema is that no matter what, I only want to serve Krishna. My only desire is to serve Krishna. So that is the best principle which we should be developing and aiming for. So this story of Sarvabhoom Bhattacharya is showing us that although he was serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of compassion, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking differently and then giving him reciprocating with him, yathamam prapiyante, and giving him the special blessings, and then of course the divine darshan of Sarabhuj, and then he becomes a perfect Vaishnava in the principle of bhakti, and then of course he became one of the stalwart preachers of the cult of Krishna consciousness. So this is the understanding we should take from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from this section of the liberation of Sarvabhoom Bhattacharya. And I was asked now to speak something about leave to give. Because this month is of course a special month where we concentrate on distributing the mercy of the Lord in the form of distributing books. Of course, distributing books is not just a time when we do it in the month of December. It should be done 24/7, January to December. Every day is a day for distributing books. But in the Western world, in the early days when Srila Prabhupada was preaching, this month of December, especially 1st of December as we enter, it becomes the month of festivities. And what is the festivity? Festivity is of Christmas. And Christmas is a day to remember the mercy of Jesus Christ. Although it is celebrated as the birth of Jesus Christ, but people don't remember Jesus Christ for his birth on Christmas Day. Mostly they remember Jesus Christ for partying and enjoying and celebrating the birth of Jesus by doing all other things but remembering Jesus for the principles which Jesus Christ taught. Jesus Christ taught the gospel based on the Ten Commandments, but nobody is at all concerned for the Ten Commandments. They are in the spirit of enjoy. But at least one aspect of that festivity and the mood of festivity is to give charity and be charitable. So during Christmas period or leading up to Christmas, everybody is very charitable. And that is why when devotees were going out for book distribution in the Western countries, they found that people were very joyous, very spirited, and say, yes, I'll take the book and give you a dollar or two, and they will give you some contribution and take your books. And they found that this was the best period to distribute hundreds of thousands of books. And of course, these books, they may take it in the wrong spirit, because the spirit of Christmas and charity is there. They may just take it out of joy. Yes, I'll take a book from you, and no problem, you know, here, take some donation and be happy, Merry Christmas to you and all that stuff. But these books are transcendental books which are waiting to deliver someone. So someone may be a recipient of this book, but that recipient of that book may not get the mercy of that book, but someone else may get it because that person is a recipient of this book. So I will recite that one story. And many years back, we were distributing Krishna trilogy. in Krishna book in three books. Of course, now it's in two parts, but we used to have three parts. So we used to, on softback books, we used to make a packet of three and give it out on the streets and distribute. So we were fired up distributing. One devotee had given one book to one person. And out of spirit of joy, he took that book and then he gave some donation. And then he flicked the book through and said, it's not interesting. And he went put it in the garbage bin. So he trashed the book. Now one was, oh my goodness me. He received the blessings of the Supreme Lord and he threw the Lord away. Okay, maybe he is not ready to receive Krishna Prema yet. But the garbage cleaner who sweeps the street, and their business is that they go and sweep the streets, and every 100 meters is a lamppost with a trash can. They take it out and empty it into their little wheelie bins. And then, of course, at the end of their shift, they take it back to the yard and empty it up. So as he was emptying this, he saw this colorful book. He said, this is a book. So he took the book and put it in his pocket and put the trash away, threw the trash away to his yard. And of course, that time he's now for his break. So he's sitting down there, opened his lunchbox with his sandwiches, his cup of tea, pulled the book out and he was looking. And he was not reading, but he was looking at all the colorful pictures. And he was so attracted by these pictures. He said, wow, these pictures are brilliant. Of course, in his heart, maybe he was thinking, God, help me. And God said, okay, I will help you. And he came to him in that book, form of Krishna book. And he was looking at those pictures. And then finally, he was so interested. And in the front page, he said, anybody interested in the subject matter of this book can contact this address. So he came here. And he said, I found this book and it's very interesting and I want to know more about you Krishna people. And of course, then the devotee says, very nice, thank you very much for coming. And then they took very nice care of him and offered him good hospitality. And then he gave up his job and he joined the ashram and he became a devotee. And then, of course, rest is history, that he started doing book distribution and giving out books to everyone. So these are many, many wonderful stories of how these transcendental books would come to you. And our business is to give out. And in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's none more dear to me than one who preaches my glories. Of course, what can we preach about Krishna? Very little. We can speak to them for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even in half an hour, even 1 hour. But that 1 hour of speaking about Krishna is not going to be as strong as Srila Prabhupada says, giving him one of these books. Because as soon as a person takes the book and he touches the book, he is getting the transcendental blessings of touching the body of Krishna. And when you actually touch body of Krishna, means you are embracing Krishna. And Krishna is embracing you because there's a reciprocation. Just like in our greetings, when we see someone, we embrace that person also puts the arm around us and embraces us. And we embrace each other. It's a reciprocation. So when we touch these books are like embracing the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord embraces us. And then next, Prabhupada says, even if we read one line of these words, these are transcendental words of Krishna. And when you read one line or one verse of these transcendental books, means you are directly getting association of Krishna, and Krishna is now taking care of you and says, since you have made that endeavor to take one step towards me, I am going to take these steps towards you and take full charge of you. And Prabhupada explains that anybody who has this mercy of receiving a book means that they are now getting opportunity to connect with Krishna. And Krishna says, I will now take full charge of you and full control of you. And slowly and steadily, I will remove all your misconceptions and free you from darkness and give you knowledge. So we have to do our endeavor to spread this mission's work as much as we can. Of course, right now we are in this corona pandemic. So we cannot practically go individually and meet people due to certain restrictions. But there are devotees who are out there preaching, and we can become the backbone and connect with our congregation devotees, encourage them that please take these books and go out and distribute these books and give everybody mercy. And the more you give, the more you receive. One last example of giving and receiving is transcendental, and it multiplies manifold, is the story of Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Yudhishthira Maharaj, at the end of his pastime, when they are retiring timely and going into the Himalayas and then onwards towards the spiritual world, when Yudhishthira Maharaj finally approached the gates of the spiritual world, the gatekeepers were so joyous to receive Yudhishthira Maharaj and welcome him. But at the same time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was accompanied by a dog. And the gatekeeper said, the dog is not qualified to come. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great devotee and full of compassion in his heart for the dog. He said, if the dog cannot come in, then how can I go in there? This is the nature of a Vaishnava. He will sacrifice his own needs for others. So there are another great examples are there, but I will quickly wind up. That Yudhishthira Maharaj said that I will give my all credits to the dog. So he gave away all his pious credits, his bhakti, everything to the dog. And the gatekeeper said, now the dog can enter because he has got the qualification to enter the spiritual world. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj, with humility, folded arms, he bowed down to the gatekeeper saying, now I'll go back and accumulate some more power and bhakti to come back. And the gatekeeper says, no, sir, you don't need to go. Since you did the gesture of giving your good qualities and your good karma to the dog was beneficiary of that blessings and can enter the spiritual world, but you have doubled yours. So what you gave away, you did not lose. You doubled in what you got. And therefore, you are twice as much qualified to enter the spiritual world. So in the same spirit, when we make encouragement to give someone Krishna, we will also receive doubly what we give. So if we really are greedy to get more and more of Krishna, then we should give more and more. And more we give, the more and more we will get. And that way, we will become perfect in our spiritual practices. And this is the goal, that we have been a recipient of Krishna's mercy. We have come to Krishna consciousness. We have got a shelter. Now we cannot be greedy and just keep this shelter to ourselves. We should give to others. What we have received, if we give to others, then Krishna becomes more and more happy. And as he becomes more and more happier, the more and more we become happier. And this is the magic formula of how to become happy. So on this note, I will stop. If anybody has any comments or any questions, feel free. So, no comments, no questions, then I take it that we understand the spirit of giving. So let us all go and give, and give until we have nothing to give. But I'm sure there won't be a stage when we don't have anything to give, because when we give, we have more. And more we have, the more we can give. And more we give, the more we have to give. And there is no question of being empty. Yes, David, you have something to say?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for the class. My question is about giving and selfless giving. If an individual has an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, and they are like a selfless giver and thinking of everyone else, how would Krishna view this?
No. You see, you have to understand that you can only give what you have. See, suppose I have 10 pounds in my pocket.
Yes.
The maximum I can give you is 10 pounds. Yes. But I wish I can give you 100 pounds. Yes. Wishing is not good enough. Yes. Because I can only give you that which I have. So if I have only 10 pounds in my pocket, I can say, my friend, this is all I can give you. And I can give you 10 pounds, and I've given everything what I have to you. Right? Yes. But you have something. Now, that will make you one step higher than where you were before. Before you had nothing, now you have something. So that is a stepping stone to move on to next level and next level. So Krishna he sees, just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was a well-learned person in Vedanta. He knew Vedas very well. But his conclusion was slightly faulty in terms that he had only understood the impersonal aspect. So the Lord comes and then gives him that personal aspect. So even though we may have impersonal concept, that is the first stepping stone, because, you know, as Krishna explains and Prabhupada also explains, there's the three levels of realization: Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. So first, initially, we will actually appreciate the Lord in his impersonal aspect, in his energy. Then slowly, slowly, we'll come to understand he's the Lord in the heart. And then once we accept the Lord in the heart, then the next stage is the Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord himself. So the Lord will take care of the rest.
So thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, all right, thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Living and giving ki jai. Hare Krishna.